I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Southern Baptist Convention, predominantly white, overwhelmingly conservative, is considering a resolution celebrating the election of Barack Obama as president. We'll find out why in a moment. It's our Faith Matters conversation. But first, we're going to focus on another of those cultural hot-button issues that now engage the country, some say in the manner that race once did or still does to some minds. This week, President Obama extended some benefits to the same-sex partners of federal employees. The move stopped short, though, of guaranteeing the full health benefits enjoyed by heterosexual married couples. We wanted to talk about this because some are hailing this move as proof of inevitable progress toward equality for same-gender-loving individuals. But others say it is proof of something else, of the Obama administration's timidity when it comes to civil rights for gays and lesbians. We're joined now by social critic and history professor at Spelman College, William Jelani Cobb, and Haley Gorenberg, who is the deputy legal director for Lambda Legal. That's an organization that fights for civil rights for members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Before we jump into the conversation, I just want to play a short clip of President Obama in the Oval Office this week when he formally authorized this benefits extension. Here it is.
LGBT federal employees can't always use sick leave to care for their domestic partners or their partner's children. Their partners aren't covered under long-term care insurance. Partners of American Foreign Service officers abroad aren't treated the same way when it comes to the use of medical facilities or visitation rights in case of an emergency. And these are just some of the wrongs that we intend to right today.
Haley, let me start with you. How important is this announcement?
It's important to have a step taken, and we welcome any step taken. And these are some significant benefits, but there's much more that we need, and we need to pick up the pace.
Jelani, you wrote an op-ed for CNN.com entitled Obama Absent on Civil Rights. Now, it was written before this latest move took place, but you call gay and lesbian rights the civil rights issue of our time, and you took the Obama administration to task for being timid about pursuing those rights. Tell me a little bit more.
Well, that's right. I was actually a delegate for candidate Obama, now President Obama. And I remember the tremendous support that he received from the gay and lesbian community in Atlanta and various other places. I was there firsthand to see that. And so I was kind of disappointed to see the slow pace that he was operating at once he came into office. And so I wrote the article saying one of the things I think we tend to think about, tend to forget, is that the civil rights struggles extend to many communities beyond simply the African-American community. So as someone who teaches about the civil rights, the history of the civil rights movement, I thought it was important to make that point.
Do you consider, well, let me just quote again from the piece you wrote that, quote, to date, he has taken no significant action on this front, and more critically, his administration is actually being outpaced by state legislatures around the country. So two questions for you. First of all, do you still feel that way? Do you feel that this extension of some benefits to same-sex partners is not significant? And what does it matter who takes the lead? Does it matter? Does the federal government have to be in the lead on something like this?
Well, yes, the federal government does have to be in the lead on something like this, especially if it's a federal government headed by someone who campaigned on the promise of change that we could believe in. And to kind of make a rough analogy, it would be the equivalent of saying that the Johnson administration was being beaten to the punch on civil rights by several southern state legislatures. That's not what we would expect. Moreover, I believe that given just on a pure electoral political side of it, this is a constituency that came out very hard for the president. And I think that he should take their concerns into consideration.
But just on the pure electoral side of it, and Haley, I want to hear from you on this, there are those who would argue that having state legislatures take the lead is exactly the way to achieve the kind of lasting political, social consensus that makes civil rights meaningful, that it's one thing for somebody to do something by fiat. It's quite another for people to accept it. And that, in fact, having state legislatures take the lead is precisely the way to achieve lasting change. So, Jelani, I want to hear from you. And then, Haley, I want to hear from you on that point.
Well, I don't think there's a problem with state legislatures doing the right thing. I don't want to make it seem like that's, you know, the problem. But I do think that as president, you are supposed to set the tone on these matters. Moreover, there are still individuals who are being excluded from the military under the pre-existing don't tell policies. He made a personal promise during his campaign that he would be a supporter of adoption rights for gay and lesbian families. And so we haven't seen any action or any activity on those fronts. And those things are not things that the state legislatures have necessarily promised. So we're simply saying that President Obama should be accountable for the things that he has promised.
Haley, you were saying it's time to pick up the pace. Supporters of the president would argue he's been in office less than 6 months, just barely 6 months. Is that really a fair criticism at this point?
I think it is a fair criticism given the fact that he campaigned as somebody who was going to come in to make change, that that was the strength of his administration, and that the way that he would do it, one strength of that administration would be that he would draw the best, the brightest, that he would be just as he expected us to select him on merit, and people drew together and arguably overcame some historical prejudices in this country, that he stands for exactly that and campaigned on that, and that we should then expect that as he faces critical national problems, he's going to draw on all the strengths of our varied communities based on their merit and what they can contribute to the country to get through, the problems that we face. This is a president who came in on crisis and should be taking all of us in to combat these crises. So when, for instance, Professor Cobb points at Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and other people do, I think it's a fair thing to say that when we are engaged in wars on several fronts, that we should draw from our communities without prejudice and draw on all the strength that we have to be the best that we can be. And that means that we should not be continuing on a national level to discriminate, to get rid of mission-critical personnel, including people who can translate the languages in the theaters in which we are engaged, based on discrimination against them for their sexual orientation. And that is a current pressing crisis that everybody recognizes that this administration is dealing with. And if we tie one hand behind our back because of discrimination, then that means that one of the most pressing items on the presidential agenda is one that is not being fully addressed with all of our strengths.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about President Obama's handling of the advancement of civil and human rights for same-gender loving people. And we're talking with Spelman History Professor William Jelani Cobb and Haley Gorenberg of Lambda Legal. That's a civil rights organization. Haley, if you would take the question that I asked Jelani earlier, which is, what about the argument that advancing these issues at the state level is really the best way to achieve lasting change? Because this is the best way to see that you have actual consensus among the people who have to live with these changes, as opposed to advancing these changes at the federal level by fiat, if you will.
I think there is a place for leadership on all levels, and I don't discount leadership on the state level, and we are seeing increasing momentum there. But I think that's got to be accompanied by leadership from the man who has the bully pulpit in this country, who is leading the country, leading the entire nation drawn together. And there are some things on which only he can lead or only the federal government can lead. And so it is right to look to him to lead. And I think that he paves the way and can model for the states, and that, you know, we can push from the state level and we can push as civil rights advocates, but that he has a significant place here and can be part of the lasting change. So I don't in any way write off the ability of the federal government to lead. And with regard to federal employment laws, with regard to federal benefits for federal employees, with regard to discrimination in the military, there are places where only the federal government can lead.
Jelani, going back to your op-ed, I just want to quote again, "We long ago overdosed on comparisons of Obama and previous presidents, but it's hard to miss the way his administration has begun to echo that of John F. Kennedy, and not in a good way." Paraphrasing here, you're saying that during the 1960 campaign, John F. Kennedy ran as a forward-looking Democrat, but when he got into office, he actually made civil rights for African Americans a low priority, something which you say as a history professor has now been kind of lost in the shadows of time. As you know, many African Americans in particular resist the notion that gay rights or same-sex marriage rights is an extension of the civil rights movement. And I just wanted to ask you why you think that is, and if you think that point of view is open to discussion.
Well, if you'll allow me to I guess, kind of be very personal and honest, I used to be one of those people who was very offended by that comparison. And, you know, the curious thing is that I actually began studying the history of the civil rights movement, and that's what changed my mind. When we see the social histories of black people and gays and lesbians in the United States, those are two very different histories. But the core constitutional principles that that motivate both of these struggles for gay rights and for civil rights for African Americans are very much the same, very much rooted in the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and very much connected to the same question of how can a society hold certain rights for the majority and withhold them from the minority without that being unfair and unjust. Moreover, one of the most important things, I think, is that the people who actually led those civil rights struggles have said that gay rights is a civil rights issue. And by that, I mean people like Coretta Scott King, people like Reverend Joseph Lowery, people like Jesse Jackson, people like John Lewis. So these were the people who were actually there on the front lines, and they've said that these struggles are linked and connected. I think that should be good enough for the rest of the community.
Haley, final thought from you very, very briefly. What is the top priority then for the community? What do you need most to see in leadership from President Obama as fast as you can?
We need to see movement on repeal of federal discriminatory provisions. He's called on agencies to do that, and we need to see that on the federal level with regard to the military. We need to see a press forward for employment non-discrimination and adoption rights, you know, additionally.
We have to leave it there. Thank you. Haley Gorenberg is the Deputy Legal Director for Lambda Legal. It's an organization that fights for civil rights for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. She joined us from New York. William Jelani Cobb is a social critic and historian who teaches at Spelman College. He joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. I thank you both.